Hello and welcome to episode 192 of the Enough podcast. My name is Mike Hurley and I'm joined as always by my colleague and friend, Mr. Patrick Roan. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. How are you today?
Oh, a little frazzled, a little tired, but, you know, I actually wrote a post about being honest when people ask you these questions. Be honest, right? And, you know, so for me, I'm coming in from spending about an hour this morning shoveling out of the snowstorm we had here, about, you know, 12 inches, which, you know, hey, it's Minnesota. We get that. And and digging my car out and such, and then running off to a client's, and instead of getting the work done that I had intended to do there, spent the past 3.5 hours trying to figure out a weird printing issue, basically where three machines couldn't print and two machines could, and trying to figure that out and why that was happening, and was it a driver issue? And no, it wasn't a driver issue. It turned out to be you know, that this this big behemoth office you know, printer that they rent has some default setting buried within it where users somehow have to be authenticated in order to print, and if they aren't, then it just silently deletes the job. So, you know, you'll go and you'll print, and the print dialog box, you know, the little, you know, printer status thing will pop up, and the job will say print, and you know, go back to printer ready, and, you know, everything will appear to be fine, and you'll go to the printer and nothing will come out.
And that's exactly what you want. I think I feel that, you know, the printer knows best in these these examples.
Yeah. It's environmentally conscious, that printer.
Yeah, I mean,
it knows that, you know, you don't want to, you know, paper is made from trees, and for God's sakes, we got to save the trees.
I'm going to give people a little printing tip.
All right. Don't do it.
No, it's a Mac tip. It was originally a Mac tip, but I found out since you can actually do it on Windows. But yeah, so if you have something that you want, like say a web page, right? Yeah. Like say you've just ordered something online and you want to keep a receipt of it. Yeah. You can go to print and you can choose from the printer sort of location, like the printer print. Yeah. The printer location, I think it is. You can choose as PDF. Mm-hmm. And I do this all the time for things. And I find it so simple. So instead of printing it, you just save a PDF to a chosen location.
Print it to PDF.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do
that all the time.
Yeah. I bet every single one of our listeners knows this, but hopefully there's one person whose life I've just changed.
It may help. The other thing too is that a lot of these applications like Yojimbo and Evernote and things like that, things are designed up. Sometimes they put their own things in there. So you can, like, say print to Evernote, print PDF to Evernote, or print PDF to Yojimbo. You know, print it directly there into those databases and whatnot. And, that's another great way to kind of save a web page as a receipt.
Indeed. Yes.
So basically my head is still kind of swimming for fighting against this. It was a setting in the printer. I just had to go off and say, okay, don't allow anyone to print. Stop this stuff. Just because someone gets a new computer, I don't want to have to come in here and like authenticate them somehow. And you don't even show me how to do that. Just turn it off. And of course I turned it off and sure enough, boom, everyone could print. But that was 3 hours that I wanted to spend doing, continuing on the massive upgrade journey I've got them going on. I'm a little bit frazzled and a little bit just exhausted mentally. And I'm hungry. I didn't get to eat any lunch yet. I grabbed a banana on the way upstairs here to the podcast studio.
Oh.
And so I had a banana, but then that should get me through. But, oh, man, I'm hungry. And I'm hypoglycemic, too. And when I'm hungry and hypoglycemic, it makes me not only spacey, but manic, if you couldn't tell. How are you, Michael?
I'm good. I'm aching today from my first personal training session at the gym yesterday.
Ooh, do tell.
It was just lots of things I've never done before. Lots of muscles I've clearly not used very much. Lots of weight resistance stuff, really. And now I am paying the ultimate price in not even really being able to navigate stairs. So
yeah.
That's what it will do to you, apparently.
Apparently. I kind of know that feeling. It's the feeling I've been permanently in now for weeks. Actually, it does get better. It gets a lot better. And actually, so you're supposed to have kind of some recovery time, before your next workout. You'll get better and then you work out again. And maybe you'll be a little bit sore, but you'll be a little bit less sore than you were before and da-da-da.
Yeah.
But the training program I'm on actually advocates against too much recovery. There's like a window of opportunity. I think I have we shared this before? I think we might have, but I'll just in case I'll make sure that that we put it in the show notes. The kind of article which leads to the book that I'm basing my workout plan around. But basically, it goes like this, and that is that if you're looking to build like tone and things like that, you want a fair amount of recovery. But if you're just looking to build pure raw strength, you actually want to catch your muscles right at the point where they're not quite yet repaired, as it were. You want to get them used to basically get your muscles used to being in strength building, constant strength building mode, basically at a point of stress, I guess, for lack of a better word. You want to keep them at that point of stress. What will happen is they will just get, it will increase the strength gain that much quicker, whatever. I don't know. I'm no expert. I just read this stuff and then do what it tells me because, I'm a sheep.
What is this article that you were referencing?
It's the Men's Journal, Everything You Know About Fitness is a Lie.
Yeah, I think we've spoken about that before.
I think we might have. So
it'll be in there, though. I'm going to put it in the show notes.
Okay, well, I just sent you the link, so... but yeah, highly recommend it because it really does kind of dispel some common myths about working out and strength training and things in fitness and things like that, and certainly provides some interesting solutions. So, which basically around, look, you can go to the gym all you want, and you can use all the silly machines all you want, but if you're looking to just have raw strength and build strength not only for the performance gains that comes from that raw strength, but also from a injury prevention standpoint, basically, what you want to do is just use barbells and dumbbells for pure strength training, and especially focus on squats, deadlifts, and bench presses. And that focusing on these things will take care of a good chunk of the strength training one needs to do. In any case, that's what I've been focusing on at the gym. My progress has been good.
Good.
So you're feeling good about this fitness thing you did?
I am.
I know you're sore, yes, but...
I feel physically terrible, but right, mentally good.
Yeah.
This is the thing, Pat, so let me see what you say. This is terrible. I'm in such pain at the moment, I can't even navigate stairs properly.
Dude, I've been there.
And
I'm at the point where I'm squatting my body weight.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so that was the first time I managed that was on Sunday. And Monday I could barely sit up and down without assistance because my quads were so sore. So yeah, you were saying. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting. I'm manic, I told you.
You're not interrupting me. But so my original plan is to go back to the gym tomorrow.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah, but I currently can't really walk, so
don't really know but what dude, I'm gonna do. Though. You'll be okay by tomorrow. You'll be better by tomorrow. Trust me on this.
I will trust you.
And even if you're not, just go. Go anyway.
I'll try. It's all I can do, right? Just try.
Are you working with a trainer there or something?
I was on. I'm going to be having one training session a week.
Okay.
And then two other sessions a week on my own.
What did he suggest?
She does suggest free. Well, I've been going three times a week. I've just not really been doing effective things. I've just been doing whatever would take my fancy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I wanted to get the trainer, because I feel like I wasn't using my time effectively.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks that three times a week is a great idea, but we didn't talk specifically about this week.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe she doesn't know the fact that I would be sort of inhabilitated from it all. But all I can do is go tomorrow and try and do some cardio and see what happens, I guess.
Just take some ibuprofen and you'll be fine tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be all right.
I have faith.
I do too.
Good.
And you.
Thank you.
So, I mean, is there any specific goal in mind that you're trying to do? Like, I know Sammy runs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm not sort of training for something. I just want to get in better shape. I've been trying to. It's been a focus of mine for a while, but now I'm putting a bit more, no pun intended, weight behind it.
Like, yeah, taking it a bit seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going to the gym and improving my levels of fitness to the point where now I could feel like I can have a personal trainer and not feel 100% terrible, just feel like 90% terrible.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I feel like now I'm at a stage where I feel like I can deal with it. I've gone and got myself a trainer, so I make sure I'm doing the right things. Plus, I want to mix up my workout a bit, and I've been hesitant to try out some of the stuff that I don't know how to do. You know, some of the resistance machines and stuff, which I'm a bit intimidated by because I don't know how to use them and don't want to hurt myself.
Yeah.
I figured it was probably best to get a professional to show me how to do it. So that's what I done.
Yeah. You don't want to sit there like an idiot, like, you know, reading the directions on the machine and trying to like figure it out.
Exactly. Like, and I look at the directions and they don't really make much sense to me.
Yeah.
Personally, but.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some crazy stuff. I mean, that's one of the reasons I stay off of some of those, elliptical trainer things with, you know, like, you know, that's kind of meant to simulate, looks like cross country skiing and that sort of thing. And it's like, oh, geez, no, that's just too complicated for me. And it's got like a screen and all the buttons and like different programs you can do. And, I mean, I can barely figure out how to operate the treadmill. Uh-huh. And my gym has all of this fancy new equipment. So, like, you can create an account online. And online, like, for the treadmill, build your own program. So that then when you go in, you can on the treadmill screen put in your username and password, you know, because it's touch screen, and like choose your custom made programs. So like if you want to say, you know, do your own special interval training, you know, like I want to do, you know, 5 minutes at a 10% incline, you know, then 10 minutes, at this pace at a, at a 0% incline, and then rise to a, a 30% incline, at the last 2 minutes or whatever. You can like program all that stuff in and save it and like completely do that from the comfort of your own home online. And then like go in there and punch it in and pull it up on the treadmill. It's kind of sweet, actually. Man. Oh, including your own soundtrack. So you can choose what music you want to play. I mean, you can create a playlist from the music library that they've got, which, is pretty extensive. I don't know if they're pulling it from like Spotify or something like that, but I mean, it's like anything you could reasonably think of, they probably have in there. So yeah, very, very cool.
That is impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. I really haven't used it. I've just, had it explained to me and shown to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, cause for me, when it comes to the treadmill stuff, I'm just doing I'll do like a 5 or 10 minute, run, before and after my regular workout. It's more of a, warm up, get the heart beating sort of thing than it is, any sort of training thing. I'm still running outside, except for now with all the snow. That's not going to happen for a few days.
Yeah, I bet. What is the snow situation like?
We got about 12 inches or so, which in, practical terms, that's, about anywhere between 1 to 2 feet on the ground, because it, with blowing and shifting and things like that, it's
more,
just 12 inches does not necessarily equal 12 inches. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we're Minnesotans. We're pretty good at, digging it out and shoveling it out and that sort of thing. No problem there. I got out, got to my clients this morning, so that was a problem. But the problem with running is just simply that, it's slippery and patchy in places, and certainly it takes about 24 hours before people really, really get around to kind of, shoveling their sidewalks and things like that after the snow stops or whatever. And, in my case, we have 3 houses, right? That's, I got one of them shoveled this morning. I might not get the other one shoveled until this evening, right? Sort of thing. And so that's just to say that it doesn't necessarily happen like right away. The snow was still going when people left for work this morning. So, some people aren't going to even be able to shovel their walks until they get back home from work, and maybe they'll get home from work and have some dinner and do it tonight and, that sort of thing. If there's someone on vacation, obviously their walk's not going to get shoveled right away. And so it ends up being kind of, patches of good running and bad running and that sort of thing. Usually what I do is I wait for a couple of days after a snow has fallen to think about getting back out again, just simply to give people the time to clear things up.
Certainly seems like a smart thing to do.
Yeah. It's what you got to do when you live in a place like this. I mean, you guys haven't gotten any snow this year, have you?
We've had a little, but it wasn't enough to make much of a dent, to be honest.
Because last year you guys had that one very unusual snowstorm, I remember.
Yeah, I think it was last year. And yeah, that was the one where it was like it came from another country. Like it came from like Iceland or something. And yeah. It just put the entire country out of action.
Yeah, it just basically shut everything down. Yeah.
Because
there are certain parts of this country that, when they get snow, that totally happens, right?
Yes. Yeah,
just simply because they're not used to it.
Yeah, we don't have the infrastructure necessary to remove that because it would cost too much to just have it for once in a blue moon, as it were.
Yeah. I mean, despite all the snow that we got, the main roads and throughways are very drivable. I just I just got back from driving on them. So, you know, then we know the snow's coming. The snow plows get out there. They, you know, kind of keep the main roads plowed. And then side streets and such, they generally, the city at some point calls what's called a snow emergency. And that's what's happened here. And basically, it works different ways in the two different neighboring cities. So Minneapolis, it works one way, and here it works another. But how it works here in St. Paul is, streets are either marked day plow or night plow. For day plow routes, the roads have to, or your car has to be off the street by 8 a.m. or it will be ticketed and tagged. And night plow routes, I believe it's, gosh, I want to say 6 p.m., but I'm not positive on that. But I think on night plow routes, by 6 p.m., car has to be off the street or is ticketed and tagged, or, you know, ticketed and towed, I should say. And so, yeah, but basically their goal is obviously to get all the cars off the street so that they can clear all the way to the curb and get them plowed up. So you just, you know, move your car off the street, or, you know, if you happen to live on a day plow route like we do and you have a 9-to-5 job, you can be almost guaranteed that if you, you know, if you leave before 8 o'clock, by the time you come back, your street will have been plowed. Works out very well.
Not a bad service.
Nah.
If only they could take it to the door, right?
Yeah, well, and most folks here own snow blowers anyway for the heavier snows like this. We own a snow blower, but for whatever reason, I think it needs a new carburetor. I think I blew out the carburetor because you're not supposed to store, you're not supposed to store them for too long with gas in the tank. And I kind of forgot to take it out at the end of last winter. So screwed myself.
Not
screwed
good.
The pooch. Wow, so we've bored people enough. Do we have a sponsor or something we need to thank?
Of course we do, Patrick. We would, of course, love to thank our lovely friends over at squarespace.com, who give you absolutely everything you need to make an amazing website. It doesn't matter how experienced you are when it comes to putting websites together. You can put together a website, blog, or portfolio in minutes with Squarespace. You don't have to worry about hosting, scaling, or integration with social services. They take care of the whole thing. It's never been easier to start selling things online, too, with Squarespace's new commerce. Their new commerce features allows you to add a fully integrated store to your website and instantly start accepting payments. With the new Squarespace commerce, you can sell physical or digital goods. It doesn't matter what you want to sell, you can just integrate it and enable it immediately. You can have smart inventory management, customer order processing, packing slips you can print out to help you with order fulfillment. You can have customizable emails, multiple shipment methods, coupons, download expiries, lots and lots of things. Basically, what Squarespace have done is given you everything you need to now build commerce and product selling and everything. A whole business you can create now using Squarespace. It really is very, very cool indeed. This comes along with all of Squarespace's regular excellent features, of course, like their beautiful templates, their drag-and-drop layout engine interface, design templates, I say, all built right in, so they look absolutely fantastic. You don't have to worry about finding somebody else. They have real-time analytics, iOS and Android apps, blog importers if you want to move over really easily from somewhere else. They take care of the whole lot, and you get 24/7 customer support too to help you if you have any issues. There's no credit card required to try out Squarespace. Go to squarespace.com/70decibels and you can start your free trial. Squarespace starts at $10 a month for the standard plan. If you sign up for a year, you'll get 20% off that price or any of the other plans. If you sign up for 2 years, you'll get 25% off. They also have an unlimited plan and the commerce plan, the business plan too, which you can check out at squarespace.com/70decibels. And you'll want to use the code 70decibels free. That's 70DECIBELS and the number free for an additional 10% off your first order. So go check out Squarespace, everything you need to make an amazing website.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. So do we have a little bit more time?
Of course we do.
All right. So first off, I want to call people's attention to according to last week's show, I was on the Pen Addict podcast with you and Brad.
You were indeed.
That was so much fun.
It's a good show.
Oh, my God. Can we do that, like, lots? I want to do that a lot more.
Of course we'll have you back. We said on the show we're going to get you back. I can't remember what the reason was, but there was a reason,
yeah,
wasn't there?
Yeah, there is a reason. I think, like, we couldn't do it, like, every week. But
no,
it was great. People should listen to that because especially I was really I talk quite a bit about fountain pens, Brad and I do, and we kind of cover getting into vintage fountain pens. And I discuss a number of, I think, fairly affordable options for doing so. So for those of us who have missed the fact that we haven't talked about, pen and paper in a little while, there you go. There you have it. Boom.
Perfect place.
Right there.
Not just, and it's a weekly show. I mean, Pat isn't on it every week, which is a great shame, of course. But you get to hear me and Brad wax lyrical about pens, paper, and the analog tools that we love so dearly, as the show intro goes.
Yeah. Well, and hence the reason why, as everyone knows, that's right up my alley, too. I don't know why I'm not on enough. I should be on that more.
We actually don't really have a lot of guests, and it's something that we're looking to rectify in the coming months. We're trying to set up some interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yes,
and you've had some really great guests on Command Space recently at like opportune times.
Yeah, Dalton Caldwell was a recent guest.
Yeah, like right after they changed things up with Alt.net and had like a basically a freemium, kind of unleashed their freemium model.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't just a coincidence, Pat. Wasn't just a coincidence.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Well, I'm just, maybe
how I roll.
We want to make people think that you're magic like that, that you're prescient.
Yeah, I'll take that. The reason it wasn't an accident is because I'm prescient.
Yeah, there you
prescient.
Go.
Prescient, that's how I would say it. Makes me sound like I'm precious. Although I am also precious.
Too. You are also precious, yes.
So I have on the show, on the upcoming episode that I'm recording tomorrow, I am talking to Lex Friedman. But also tomorrow I'm pre-recording an episode of John Siracusa.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be out on March the 20th.
And this show is going to be released today, and I remember you were taking, querying, basically folks to see if anyone had any questions for the two of them. So is that still true? Would you still like our listeners, if they've got something in the next 24 hours or so, to shoot you an idea through your 70 decibels comments sort of thing?
Probably the best way. Like, if you've got any questions for primarily for John, because I'm recording with him much later, so you'll have more time. If you have any questions for Mr. Siracusa, just to let me know on one of the social networks, and I'm iMike, iMyke on there. I'm recording with him at 1:30 in the morning my time.
Wow.
That's when we start.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not planning on going to sleep?
Maybe we'll be finished by like 3:30.
Oh, man.
And I've got an important lunch meeting on Thursday, which was booked in afterwards, you see. But these are the sacrifices you need to make.
You poor, poor boy.
He is a man who is very rightly so precious of his time, and he said, I'd love to be on, but I can only do at whatever time that was onwards. And I was like, okay, well, I'll make it work.
I mean, that's important. You got to respect that. Yeah. I actually was conversing with a friend today about some arrangements, and I was saying, well, if it's an issue, here we could do this, we could do that. And he said, really, the only issue is that I've got a I don't want to take as little time away from my wife and daughter. I'm like, oh, dude, I totally get that. It's one of the reasons why. I'm very protective of that time. I think that more people should be protective of their time. you know, as I've stated before, it is the most precious of resources that we have in this life, or, you know, that the world has, as a matter of fact. And so, yeah, we should be more protective of it. And we should understand those who are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was talking to a colleague at work today about this very thing, because I leave at 5 o'clock every day. And it's very rare that I won't, and I plan my day around the fact that I know I'm going to leave at 5. And every day I get up, put my coat on, and say goodbye to every other person in my 13-person team. Nobody ever leaves before me, and very rarely does somebody leave with me. So I wonder to myself, you know, what do they think of me? You know, do they think that I've not got any work? But at the end of the day, I don't care, because I have something else that I have to do, and I get paid 9 to 5, and if I'm not going to do it today, it's going to have to get done tomorrow. And because that is me, that is something that is important to me, because if I don't leave at 5 on a Tuesday, for example, then I can't make it home in time to record with Matthew for Bionic.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't leave at 5 on a Wednesday, then I don't have any time for the gym, and then won't make it home in time for Command Space, and so on and so on.
Right. I mean, it affects everything else and backs things up. I mean, because, for instance, if you're late recording Bionic, that means you're likely going to be late recording this show, which likely means you're going to be late recording, you know, whatever is after this, right?
Yeah. Although I'm always late with this show now these days, but you're very nice to me.
Yeah, yeah. So, completely get that. Well, and so you were talking with a colleague about this. I mean, what is the impression of others who are there still slogging away at 5
well,
while
I know
you're walking out the door?
The reason that they all do it is they're all just sitting there so it looks better. Like, that's why everybody's doing it. No, I know that nobody on my team is that busy. Like, we all have our moments, but not every day. And so I know that, and my colleague said sort of a similar thing, was that they know that if they stay an extra half an hour, it makes it look like that they've got the right amount of work on and won't get given too much, which is, and it frustrates me, but I know that that's a standard thing across many industries and across my company, and I just think to myself, just go home. And they don't even take lunches either. I don't get it. Take an hour's lunch every day.
Mm.
I work what I'm paid to do. I work hard. I put my hours in. I get paid for 7 hours a day, and I work them. I don't really, and it's not like, you know, and I'm doing my work. I'm doing everything that is asked of me. My projects are on time, and I'm just not wasting anybody else's time, mine or the company's.
Well, this is something I've often thought about, because, you know, when you take a look at, you know, productivity as it's measured by the quote unquote experts, you look at the productivity of American workers, and you look at how long the average worker works, and, you know, 40 hours, you know, 50 hours, 60 hours, you know, what have you. And there's lots of folks out there, lots, way too many, that are literally putting in 60 hours a week, like, you know, like regularly, like that's their standard work week. And, you know, I think that, unfortunately, it's becoming increasingly expected in our work culture that if you are working on salary, that 40 hours a week is actually the bare minimum that you know, and that you will be looked at with, with a kind of curious eye if you're only working 40 hours. Right. And you know, I think in general business loves this because they can, you know, because they're getting more hours for less money. Right. You know, there's a better return on their dollar. And so I think that in a lot of cases they purposefully promote this idea in their company cultures. But I digress. Bottom line is that when, you know, experts look at this stuff and they compare us to other countries like the UK, where you all take far more vacations than we do, and, you know, have far more, you know, holidays, as it were, than we do. Or even in a country like Spain, where you know, a long work day is generally about 6 hours. Yeah. And a lot of, you know, you know, where it's not unusual for people to, you know, go into the office at 10 and then leave around 1 or 2 for lunch and then have an hour lunch and then maybe a hour and a half, 2 hour siesta and then come back to the office for about 2 or 3 more hours and then leave for the day. Right. But you look at, you know, or even France is a similar sort of thing. Bottom line is that what they find is that oftentimes those people are in fact more productive working less hours. And the reason that they're more productive is because they're not so darn tired. They're not so darn exhausted from overworking themselves. They actually are doing more in the time that they have. And it's enough that they don't have to work more than 6 hours, right? I mean, it's that same conundrum that we were trying to talk about before the show, but I couldn't. I haven't quite formed my thoughts around it yet. But there's several examples of the idea that, you know, actually that instead of like for instance me, you know, instead of my working to get more and more clients, you know, for my business and, you know, try to work more, try to bill more hours for that, that I actually may end up being more successful by cutting out the clients I have that are taking up the majority of my time and simply taking that energy and focusing it more on those that provide me the, you know, that, you know, take less time, but actually provide me more money. Right. Yeah. You know, it's, and, you know, that's the paradox, right? I think oftentimes if you look at an organization, you'll find that, you know, the customers that are taking up the vast majority of your time represent a relatively small number of customers. And that if you were to eliminate those and focus in on the rest, that you end up either with a, you know, with no perceivable loss, or in fact possibly a gain, because now you are freed up to focus and to do a better job for the ones that remain.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I don't know. I think there's something to the idea that actually by working less than your colleagues, you may in fact be doing a better job.
As I always say in these things, people can think whatever they want about me, but my results will show it in the end, whether good or bad. So
yeah.
Plus, well, that's, I don't intend to be doing what I'm doing now for the rest of my life. So really, the only people who I care about in regards, you know, really truly care about in regards to my work output are you, the lovely listeners. You are who I care about, because this is what I want to do. So,
yeah,
I want to make you guys happy. As long as you're happy, I'm happy.
Well, and I mean, I think that priority shows that, right? You know, that your reason for leaving exactly at 5 is not just that you are worried about, or I should say that that's what you're paid for and that's what you're going to work and da, 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 but also that gives you the time that you need to actually do the thing that you really want to do.
Exactly.
Kind of career wise full time. Mm-hmm. So something to be said for that.
I think so.
Oh, well, so enough of this rambling, another rambling episode. We should probably give our You Can Contact Us @s and sign off, eh?
Yep. Patrick can be found on the social networks, mainly app.net. He is Patrick Rhone, PatrickRhone. And
that's me.
That is him, and I am iMike, iMyke. Love to hear from you all, as you surely know by now. We are always happy to hear from our lovely listeners, so please do get in touch.
Yeah,
so thank you for listening to this week's illustrious episode.
Thanks a lot, Michael. We'll chat later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.